In the bright, neutral light of a silent museum stands a cross. It is not an old, rugged cross, dusty and bruised, made of dark rosewood with golden brass and coloured stone rosettes and stars. It towers over a stepped brass base. The base, composed of many layers, seems to represent the hill of Calvary, where Jesus was crucified. And yet, in the lush Baroque aesthetic of this cross is a silence, the silence of absence. The body of Christ himself is missing, and as your eyes wander down the rosewood, you see small niches in the base. 1, 2, 3, stacked one atop another, but they are empty. Welcome to the Altar of Time, a history of India's Christian art. I'm Kevin Fernandez. Most large Indo-Portuguese crucifixes inevitably survived to the present day without the delicate ivory bodies of Jesus Christ attached. Most museums, including the Museum of Christian Art in Old Goa, have these intricately ornamented crosses in separate displays from the translucent ivory bodies that were once stretched over them in eternal depictions of pain. So the empty niches on the Calvary cross open up new questions. What did the depictions of Jesus that they once carried originally look like? A set of three statuettes in the museum's ivory display, not far from the Calvary cross, hold the answer. As we discuss them, we'll also explore various aspects of Christian theology and worship, particularly those related to the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Roughly 6 inches in height, each of these 17th century statuettes seem to tell a story. The first image is of Christ standing with his hands joined in prayer or supplication. In the second, Jesus has his hands in front of him bound to a pillar. The third is quite similar to the second, without the pillar though. This arrangement is quite interesting because it makes the figurine of Christ with its hands bound to the pillar the central image. This triptych format, where three icons are placed together, can be seen in art across the Christian universe. It is often used as a devotional and narrative tool, with each segment telling its own story, but a story that becomes richer when read with those of the other images it is next to. These three statuettes in the niches of a Calvary cross would have provided a narrative sequence, each leading up to the excruciating death of Christ on the cross. They would allow for forms of Christian devotion directed towards contemplating Jesus' humiliation and torture, also called the Passion of Christ. When you think of the idea of passion, you imagine something that you feel strongly about, something greatly desirable and enjoyable, and something that usually has a positive connotation. He is passionate about art. Molecular biology is her passion. Their passion for animals led them to start an animal shelter. But in the Christian usage of language, the Passion of Christ refers to the prolonged torture and humiliation Christ experienced, and is normally written with the letter P capitalized. While this may appear somewhat confusing, this is an idea backed and rooted in Christian theology. Christ's death is believed to have been a good or desirable thing. It saved all of humanity from death and eternal damnation. Christ's entire life on earth as a man was directed to this one moment, where he became the perfect, ultimate, and last sacrifice for the sins of humankind, which began with the original sin of disobedience by Adam and Eve. His sacrifice thus replaced the animal sacrifices that were prevalent during his lifetime. A ritual that still remains in vestigial forms in other Abrahamic faiths. It is for this very reason that Christ is also called the Lamb of God, and why the day on which the death of Christ is commemorated is called Good Friday. So Christians feel guilt, shame, and sadness that Jesus, who unlike the rest of humanity, was without blemish of original sin, carried the weight and responsibility of the sins of humankind in his suffering and death, becoming a sort of scapegoat. But they also rejoice in the victory over death and damnation that the cross of Christ represents. So what do these devotions look like? Church congregations usually read the Passion of Christ on the annual observance of Palm Sunday, which is the Sunday before Easter, commemorating Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. The verses are also read on Good Friday, which marks the day Jesus died on the cross. The faithful meditate on the way of the cross, a fascinating narrative which originated in the time of the Crusades around the 12th and 13th centuries CE. This traces the route and key events from the moment Jesus was condemned to death by the Romans and the Jews to the interment of his body in a borrowed grave. This happens on Fridays through the season of Lent, which is a 40-day period of prayer, abstinence, and almsgiving, beginning on Ash Wednesday and ending on the Saturday before Easter. The Portuguese and Spanish also pay tribute to the suffering and death of Christ in dramatic and colorful ways, including processions, pageants, and tableaus of various kinds. Goans and the Goan diaspora in Mangalore, as well as Christian communities in Kerala that came in contact with the Portuguese, continue to retain some of these practices. The most prominent such tradition is the reenactment of the Way of the Cross on Good Friday, usually held in the churchyard or as a procession across the village. Mangalore's Catholic community traces their origin to conversion in Goa and subsequent migration in various waves due to the Portuguese Inquisition, economic and political upheaval caused by famine and epidemic, and the sacking of Goa by the Marathas. Though this practice is dwindling, older parishes still create passion tableau or scenes on the altars of churches for different weeks of Lent using life-size wooden statues with movable limbs. The most common ones depict Jesus with his hands bound in front of him, often wearing a crown of thorns on his head and with a purple cloak. In the subsequent weeks, the statue is altered to recreate the scourging at the pillar when Jesus' cloak was stripped off and his hands bound to a pillar for flogging, just like the ivories we've seen in the Museum of Christian Art. On Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, the same statue is manipulated to appear like Jesus is kneeling beneath the weight of the cross. It is then often taken in procession, followed by the statue of Our Lady of Sorrows. This is a devotional image of Mother Mary, foregrounding the seven sorrows of her life, the most poignant of which was witnessing the suffering and death of her son. On Good Friday, the day of Jesus' crucifixion, a solemn, somber service is conducted with the subdued tones of a funeral. The same statue is then laid out in repose for public viewing, almost as though for them to pay their last respects. Perhaps these three statuettes in the Museum of Christian Art were attempts to recreate some of these scenes onto a home altar or a convent oratory. They are strikingly similar to the scenes from Christ's Passion that continue to be represented across Indian Catholic communities that encountered the Portuguese. In all three images, the treatment of Christ's head is similar. The hair is parted in the center, coiling over his shoulders, falling down his back in what almost appears to be thick curls, cornrows, or dreadlocks. This hairstyle is similar to those used by image makers in the southern part of the Malabar. And these statuettes were probably imported to Goa from there. We talked about more Indo-Portuguese ivories and how they come to be made in later episodes. But for now, we leave you with the thought of how a craftsman from a completely different part of India came to send his work to a very different land. Somehow, his imagination, his beliefs, and his rituals were shaped by the Portuguese, just as his Goan client may have been. To think that both of them may have participated in the mourning and celebration of Christ's death, just as generations of Indians continue to do today, reminds us that Indian Christianity, with its complex intercontinental history, is as much a part of our world as any other.